Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Football Full Circle, live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That would be Joe Lisi. Thank you for joining us here all across the Spiz Grizz Network and on Football Full Circle here today. Lisi, let's recap what we saw Thursday night in Cincinnati between the Bengals and the Dolphins. First, we'll start with the odds, and then we'll get to the overarching story of this game. Cincinnati wins and covers as a 3.5-point home favorite, 27-15, handing the Dolphins their first loss this season, the first time the Dolphins have failed to cover a number so far in 2022 as well. The total got all the way up to 48 and a hook for that over-under. There have now been 11 primetime games, Joe. 8 of them go under. But Sally, the story of this game, Joe, Tua Tagovailoa, 6 minutes left in the first half, slammed down on the turf, immediate fencing response. He was carted off the field on a stretcher and taken to a local hospital in Cincinnati with head and neck reported injuries. As you heard in that Sports Grid news update from Andrew Bocciagalupo, Tua did fly home with the Miami Dolphins last night. Mike McDaniel, the head coach for Miami, saying after the game, Joe, that it was nothing more serious than a concussion, which is very good news. So the silver lining out of what was a very scary scenario in Cincinnati last night.
Yeah, and the visual is what had everybody talking, right? Tua on the ground, his fingers clenched and looked like he was locked up in terms of that situation, right? And our thoughts and prayers go out to him. Hopefully he can go over the next couple of weeks. And obviously now Miami really has to take precaution in terms of rushing him back to action because he is now the face of the franchise, right? Everything really rests on Tua moving forward. You saw Teddy Bridgewater come in, lead the team on a touchdown to cut the deficit to 14-12. Couldn't get it done. But big picture, Miami looked like a tired football team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Mixon got going early. Cincinnati was able to break through for a 7-0 lead. They didn't build it to 14-12. And then at the end of the day, their defense made enough plays against the Miami offense. And at the end of the day, if Miami is for real, they'll regroup. They have a couple extra days of prep to get ready for week number 5, and we'll see how it plays out. But I think Joe Burrow in Cincinnati is back, baby, at 500.
Yeah, we'll focus on Cincy here in just a second. But Joe, I think the response that you just shared, why so many people, public, fans, viewers, the league in general, sports media, was so interested and so scared, honestly, of what we saw that happened with Tua Tagovailoa last night is because of all that led up to this game. Of course, last Sunday at home in South Beach, Tua Tagovailoa, after being slammed down to the turf, gets up. He stumbles. He is taken into the locker room where he passes concussion protocol and everything the independent neurologist put him through. He went back into the football game. The Dolphins said it was a back and ankle injury that caused Tua to stumble.
but it was a noticeable sign of a concussion, and he still was allowed back in the football game. His status for Thursday night against the Bengals was up in the air most of the week following these health concerns, and he was able to play. And so there were all of those questions, Joe, that has already led to an NFLPA independent investigation of how those protocols were followed last Sunday against the Buffalo Bills in Miami for Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins. And I don't think anything was malignant. I don't think the Dolphins forced Tua to play, or that Tua was like, I need to play, I need to play, I need to play. And they were like, all right, man, it's okay. You have a concussion. Like, just get out there and play. I don't think any of that is what happened. However, there are questions that need to be answered, because player safety needs to be first and foremost for every individual involved in the National Football League. And football is a dangerous game. We all know that, even with how much we love it. But, Joe, I think the questions that are out there and the independent investigation that is already taking place, those answers need to be expedited.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing in terms of everything, Ben, is when you look at, like, it's almost equated to like an MMA fighter or a boxer when they get knocked out, right? When they suffer head trauma, there is a period of time where you don't want to take any risks. Even if they look good, even if there is no sign of a concussion, you still want to make sure that they are stable, right? And 4 days after that injury, potentially, even though Miami said that, you know, it was an ankle injury and it had nothing to do with concussion protocol, right, he still looked wobbly. He still took a hard hit no matter what the effects were, right? At the end of the day, he suffered some sort of head trauma. Every time your head shakes with the helmet and takes a hit, the brain is moved, whether there's a concussion or not. So at the end of the day, that type of hit to the back of the head, even though he didn't hit it directly, obviously there was some residual effects. And, you know, it all falls on the doctors. I see a lot of people going after McDaniel, and I understand he's the head coach of the organization, but the independent, you know, NFL and the NFLPA buy into, right, these doctors. They're getting paid millions to make this judgment call. It's on them and not the coaches. I'm sorry. It really is on the doctors that are walking the sidelines.
And yes, Mike McDaniel does have a seat at that table, maybe needing to make an overall decision for his football team. But Joe's right. It's on the doctors. It's on those independent neurologists, the red hat, as they are known, to examine these things. And even if you pass concussion protocol, are there noticeable signs of head trauma? We'll continue that conversation in just a little bit here on Football Full Circle, live on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back on FFC Live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. All right, let's take a look at some of the games around the country for Week 5 in college football, Joe. Some of those sneaky games that might have some storylines after it. Yes, Separation Saturday and the huge games that will have those conference implications in the chase for a spot in the college football playoff. But some other games maybe a little bit more under the radar. Joe, of course, you know my Big Ten sympathies, and I'll try to be unbiased here, but a game that I am fascinated by for Saturday, Wisconsin and Illinois, the return of Brett Bielema to Madison, where he led the Badgers to 3 Big Ten championships during his tenure there in Madison, Wisconsin. It's the Badgers off a 21-point loss, Joe, to Ohio State a week ago as a 7-point home favorite against Illinois. And Burt has this Illini team playing bully ball, playing barge ball. It's a system Wisconsin knows very, very well. I think we'll see it on full display, almost like the Spider-Man meme tomorrow in Madison.
Well, think about this, obviously, right? We know about the Wisconsin defense leading into that blowout by Ohio State. They were only giving up 8 points per game. But I think the defense of Illinois, especially the secondary, is very underrated. And I think that's the matchup that you look at in terms of going up against Graham Mertz in the quarterback play for Wisconsin. They're only giving up 147 passing yards to opposing offenses. They're limiting the big play. They're getting good running back play in terms of Chase Brown and good quarterback play with Tommy DeVito. I'm inclined to take the 7 points with Brett in this ballgame. I'm not a buyer of Paul Christ, and I'm certainly not a buyer of Graham Mertz in that matter. So give me Illinois on the road in this matchup.
Lisey, so far this year, the Illini 3-1 against the spread. They have not covered as an underdog. They're getting a touchdown here. But last year in conference play against the Big Ten, the Illini 7-2 against the number, winning outright as an underdog in three of those games. And they were double-digit dogs in a lot of those games, or at least greater than a full score. Now, Wisconsin shut them out last year, 24-0, would have been an easy cover of this touchdown spread. But I do think this game is more competitive. Chase Brown, the leading rusher in all of college football, the starting back for the Illini, the only running back in college football that has over 600 rushing yards entering week number five. A great game to pay attention to within the Big Ten. A game in the SEC, Joe, that might not have conference championship implications necessarily, but might lead us to our fourth coaching firing of the year. Auburn at home on the Plains, an 8.5-point underdog against LSU. That should say all you need to know about where this program's direction is right now, Joe, under Brian Harsin, who it feels like his days are numbered there in Auburn.
Oh, I mean, they handed that game to them in terms of Missouri. The kid was there. He was a hair from the end zone. Amazing that Auburn prevailed in that matchup. We watched a missed kick, too, right? The field goal with no time left. They brought in the Joey Julius, body double in terms of that to kick the field goal, and he shanked it. But at the end of the day, it comes down to this. Typically, these are very hard-fought games. Bo Nix got this victory as an underdog last year. He cracked through and knocked off LSU and really sent Eddie O packing in that ball game, right? Can we get anything from Robbie Ashford in the passing game? I love LSU in this matchup. I think there's no doubt they win. 8.5, though, seems like a huge number in a rivalry game, though, Ben. I still lean to LSU, but I don't love it. I think LSU wins. I think I would still say they cover this number. But with Brian Harsin and that team in terms of disarray right now, believe it or not, they're 3-1. I mean, they could be a live dog in this matchup, but if I had to bet it, I would still lay it with Brian Kelly.
When you look at this Auburn team, though, Joe, not really inspiring performances. Yes, they are 3-1, but they are 0-4 against the spread, not covering by an average margin of 12.6 points per game. Missouri should have won that game last week twice outright. Yes, in overtime before the ball was fumbled across the pylon, but Eli Drinkwitz decided to just settle for the field goal. It was a 26-yard chip shot, and it was missed wide right with the SEC kicker of the year last year for Missouri. And that still was an opportunity for them to win that football game. Now, Joe, I look at this game. I think Jaden Daniels can feast against this Auburn defense, allowing nearly 125 yards per game on the ground. His rushing yards prop is 46.5. In the biggest games for Jaden Daniels this year against good competition, Florida State and then against Mississippi State 2 weeks ago, he was going off on the ground. Over 100 in the opener against the Noles, over 90 against Mississippi State 2 weeks ago. He brings that throttle down when they didn't need to do much against New Mexico, and I believe the other team was Southern. So I look at Jaden Daniels having a big day, and I do worry, Joe, about this Auburn offense, because what are we going to get out of Robbie Ashford, if anything? And God forbid, if Robbie Ashford goes down, who else is there? TJ Finley? Nope. Zach Calzada? Nope. So I don't really know what this Auburn offense is going to do. And one of the biggest remakes, Joe, I think for this LSU team under Brian Kelly in year number one in Baton Rouge has been the improvement defensively, only allowing just a tick over 14 points per game, a top 20 scoring defense in the country to start this year, a top 20 rushing defense in the country to start this year. I think LSU has a good day defensively. I might look to the Auburn team total under as a different way to attack this game as well. Joe, speaking of Missouri, Georgia is a 28.5 point favorite against the Tigers in Columbia tomorrow. Convince me to not lay the 28.5 with Georgia, because I think it's like taking candy from a baby.
No, they've won 8 straight in the series. They have dominated Missouri no matter what the spread is. You know, 21, they cover it. Last year, they absolutely boat raced them. At the end of the day, Missouri does not man up with Georgia in terms of the interior. The only time that game was competitive in terms of Georgia not covering the number came back in 2018 with Drew Locke. They were like a 14.5, 15-point favorite on the road in Columbia. They won by 14 right on the number. So depending upon when you bet it. Other than that, they have absolutely covered like 4 straight against the Missouri Tigers. I don't think it ends this weekend laying 28.5. I know they're coming off a disappointing performance against Kent State. I think they could run at will on the front seven for Missouri. I think Georgia rolls and covers this line probably by 35 or more on Saturday.
Yeah, I would lay the 28.5 if you're worried about a backdoor cover and maybe Kirby taking his foot off the gas late in the fourth quarter or second half. Maybe look at the first half number of 16.5 in favor of UGA. I'm not sure Missouri scores a touchdown. I'm not sure Missouri scores a field goal. I'm not sure Missouri scores a point in this game against still a very good Georgia defense. And when I look at what Georgia is doing offensively, Joe, Stetson Bennett IV is like the 15th best passer in college football right now. This Georgia offense is firing on all cylinders. And yes, Georgia has been disappointing in terms of covering a number against Kent State last week and against Furman earlier in the year. But against their Power 5 competition, Oregon week one, they were a 16.5-point favorite. They won that game 49-3, easily covering that big spread. And as a really large favorite, 25.5, I think the number was, against South Carolina, Georgia won that game 48-7. Their average margin of victory there is astronomical, greater than 40 points in each of those games, easily covering big numbers. I'm not sure why that doesn't happen once again, even on the road in Columbia on Saturday. Joe, as we go elsewhere around the country, we talked about this game a little bit throughout the week. Kansas and Iowa State, the perfect Jayhawks, 4-0 both straight up and against the spread, led by Jalen Daniels, who now has the sixth best price to win the Heisman Trophy. They're a 3-point home underdog, Joe, against Iowa State. Do you think the Cyclones are rightfully the favorite in this matchup?
I do. They've won seven straight, the last two by 41 points per game, and won 59-7 last year. Everybody's back in Kansas. I think it ends this weekend. One of my best bets of the weekend. I love Iowa State in this ballgame.
I like Jalen Daniels in his passing yards prop here, Joe. 203 in a hook is the number. Iowa State really good on the ground, allowing less than 75 yards per game. That's what we've come to expect from Matt Campbell-led defenses. However, if there is an area to get to the Clones, it is through the air. Blake Shapen threw the ball for greater than 230 last week against this Iowa State team in a Baylor victory. Jalen Daniels can do it through the air as well as utilize his legs. Back to the National Football League. Back for more on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
After Thursday night football, as we recap it here on FFC and set the stage for the Sunday slate in week number four, there's only one remaining undefeated team left in the National Football League. The Miami Dolphins dealt their first loss of the season on Thursday against the Bengals, which means, Joe Lisi, the Philadelphia Eagles, the last remaining unbeaten side in the NFL. The Perfect Birds at 3-0 host the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday. It is the game, Joe, I might enjoy the most on the entire slate. It's a 6.5-point spread in favor of Philly, but the Jags, the top team in the AFC South right now, Joe, a 2-1 Jaguars team, is in that first place position. I think this game is going to be a ton of fun. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you, and that's why I lean to the over in this matchup. 45.5 juice to the over, -115 on FanDuel. We know about Jalen Hurts. We know about the receivers of Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, obviously Goddard as well. But Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence have evolved, right? This is a different offense than they were last year in terms of Urban Meyer and that interim staff. They're playing with house money right now. They really should be 3-0, and I like the way they're playing on the road. That front seven is holding opposing offenses right in the area of about 100 yards per game. I like Jacksonville here. They might not win, but I could see them losing a game by like 3 or 4 inside the number. I'm going to take them plus the 6.5 in this matchup, Ben.
Lisi, we're in a position now where both of these teams have been in the same spot from a handicapping betting perspective as they are entering this game. Philly has been a favorite in all three games so far this year. The Jags, an underdog in all three games so far. But Jacksonville has been slightly more impressive when it comes to that number. Both teams are 2-1 against the spread. Philly has been impressive in another way. I'll talk about that in a second. But Jacksonville, Joe, winning outright as an underdog each of the last 2 weeks, and not just winning outright by a field goal or pulling off some miracle at the end to win outright as a dog. They shut out the Colts at home in Jacksonville 24-0. So they won outright by 24 points. Again, booked as a 3-point underdog. Last week, as a 6.5-point underdog, they went outright by 28 points on the road against the Los Angeles Chargers. That is a combined margin of victory, Joe, 52 points the last 2 weeks as an underdog. That is incredibly impressive. However, Philly has covered two straight numbers, Joe, booked as a favorite without scoring in the second half. They have scored 24 points in each of their three first half performances so far this year. 24 against the Vikings. They don't score again in the second half on Monday night. They still cover as a 2.5-point favorite. Last week on the road against the Commanders in a divisional game, a 7-point road favorite. Philly scores 24 in the first half. They don't score again in the final two stanzas, and they still cover as a touchdown under or a touchdown favorite in a road divisional game. That is really impressive from both sides, really, Joe.
It really is. I think you have two teams now that are looking to take the next step, you know, in terms of that. I agree with you. I think the biggest thing right now is what type of quarterback play can you get at, right? That's the biggest thing. If we're looking at Philadelphia long-term and Jalen Hurts, do you feel he could be a franchise quarterback? I think he can. I think, you know, when you look at this offense right now and you look at the playmakers around, he finds ways to get it done. And that's all you can ask for. I don't care how he throws the football. I don't care about the arm strength. In a critical spot, Jalen Hurts steps up, and at the end of the day, to me, that's what it's all about. Can he get your team wins? Can he limit turnovers? And does he have the will to win? Something that I think some of the marquee quarterbacks right now are struggling with, like Kyler Murray and some of the rest. So Jalen Hurts to me is a winner. I think right now they're playing as the best team in the NFC East. I think they get the win over Jacksonville, but I'm still inclined to take the points in this ballgame.
And that's why Jalen Hurts right now has the third best odds to win the NFL MVP at 6-1. Josh Allen is the favorite at 3-1, and then Lamar Jackson at 5-1. Jalen Hurts has thrown for over 300 yards in each of the past two games for the Birds. Speaking of those two MVP frontrunners, Joe, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, they face off against one another on Sunday in Baltimore. The Ravens getting 3 points at home as the dog here, Joe. What do you make of this matchup?
Yeah, I like Buffalo a lot here. And now, the only thing that scares me, or I would say a little hesitant, back-to-back road games, but I don't care. To me, I think Buffalo could wear down Baltimore's front seven. I think they could sustain drives. I think Josh Allen could have a huge day. I'm not worried about Lamar Jackson on the ground as much in terms of forcing turnovers. As long as Buffalo forces turnovers and wins the turnover battle, I think they win this ball game by double digits. I know it's Baltimore, but again, they're still a one-trick pony. They don't have, I want to say, an elite passing game. Outside of Mark Andrews and Bateman, maybe every now and then, they're not consistent in the passing game. So if you could limit Lamar Jackson in terms of plays on the perimeter, they're going to win this ballgame. Even with the secondary being banged up, Hyde and all those guys that are out there, it's not going to matter because the front seven, to me, of Baltimore started to wear down a couple weeks ago. And you know what? Against Buffalo, I think it's the same thing what we saw in Miami in the second half.
So I look at this game, Joe. I think it's very interesting, right? It's the highest total on the board, 51 points. It's what we would expect for two of the best scoring offenses in the league. Ravens right now leading all of the NFL in points per game at just a tick above 33 points per game so far through the first 3 weeks this year. I think you could look at the Ravens from that perspective, but I do think Buffalo obviously will score enough to keep pace. I'm not too taken aback by anything I saw last week on Sunday from that Bills perspective on the road in a disgustingly hot game in South Beach in September. Weird things happen there. But what I am a little bit surprised by, Joe, is the fact that Lamar Jackson has a passing touchdowns prop for this game of 1.5 only, and the over has plus money at plus 116. Lamar Jackson leads all of the NFL so far this year with 10 passing touchdowns. Lamar Jackson himself has 12 total touchdowns this year. That is more than every other NFL team in the league outside of the Lions, who also have 12 total touchdowns this year. That is how good Lamar Jackson has been to start in this huge contract year for him while he is trying to play for getting all of those big bucks, and I believe he deserves every penny. So when you look at it, Joe, right now, he threw for 3 touchdowns week number 1, 3 touchdowns week number 2, 4 touchdowns last week against New England, and it's only at a touchdown and a half for his passing touchdowns prop against the Buffalo secondary that you mentioned is very, very banged up at the moment. And if there is an area to get Buffalo at, it's in their secondary. I like Lamar Jackson over a touchdown and a half through the air on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. I'm not sure who's going to win the football game necessarily. I think it's going to be very close. And I think where that number is right now at 3 is indicative of maybe some of the indecisiveness within the market. But that's where I would look. Lamar Jackson over 1.5 passing touchdowns. Sunday night, Joe, we got confirmation yesterday. The game will remain in Tampa Bay between the Buccaneers and the Chiefs. And because of some of that uncertainty around the location, dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Ian, we weren't entirely sure what this spread was going to be. It opened up in the Buccaneers' favor. Then it flipped back to Kansas City. They were 1.5 favorite at points throughout this week. Now it's the Bucs, again, a small 1-point favorite. Lisey, it would be the first time since the end of the 2019 season the Kansas City Chiefs were not booked as a favorite in a game. Every game since the start of 2020, KC has been the favorite side. Every game since the start of 2021, last year, the Bucs have been booked as the favored side. What do you think we will see here, Joe, and what do you make of that line flip that has gone back and forth between the Bucs and the Chiefs?
Yeah, I still lean to Tom Brady in this ballgame. The fact that the game will be played in Tampa Bay, I think, is a huge benefit. And you know, last week, the Kansas City defense got banged up a little bit by the offensive line of Indianapolis. They deserved to win that game. Kansas City couldn't pull it out. Now they go on the road. Tampa Bay owned them in the Super Bowl. And I don't think it ends here. At the end of the day, I think that we'll see a lot of points in this ballgame. I do like the over here, but I still like Tampa Bay with the running game, with Leonard Fournette. Even though Evans comes back in this matchup and he's maybe the only difference maker, you think, I still buy into Tom Brady laying a short number now at home, less than a field goal. I know it's Mahomes, but I love the defense for Tampa Bay. They'll keep him in it every step of the way. I think there'll be big plays in this ballgame, so I'm going home team in terms of Tampa, but give me the over in this ballgame. I think we might see both offenses put up some points as well.
It's a great look, Joe. I kind of enjoy that look. However, primetime totals, as we talked about for Thursday night football, this one at 45.5. Again, it feels kind of small, but primetime totals so far this year, 8 games under, 3 games over in the 11 that we have seen. All right, Joe, here's a game that is intriguing to me in the AFC, specifically in that AFC West. The Chiefs now the favorites in the division in a minus money manner, minus 130. I think because the rest of the division that we expected to be so competitive really hasn't been all that great this year, Lisey, and you could focus on the Denver Broncos and the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders, the last winless team in the NFL, a 10-win team last year in the Raiders, a team that went to the playoffs last year in the Raiders, the only winless team in the National Football League. They're favored to get their first win at home on Sunday against the Denver Broncos team, Joe, that has also left a lot to be desired. 2.5 points in favor of Vegas, Joe. Do you think the Raiders finally get in the win column?
I do, and this line opened up at 1.5. It's up to 2.5 now before kickoff. I still like the Raiders. I like Derek Carr. I think he hits Waller. He hits Davante Adams in a big way, and I'm not sold on the consistency of the Denver Broncos offensively and defensively. Everybody talking about the defense, I think they get ripped by an elite offense in Las Vegas this weekend.
I don't know, Joe, how you could back the Broncos in this spot. I really don't. The Broncos have proven nothing to us so far this year. The only road game they played, they lost outright as a 6.5-point favorite in Seattle. More FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back on FFC, live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Some news out of Patriots practice to end out the week. Mac Jones was out on the practice gridiron ahead of New England's game this weekend on the road in Green Bay against Aaron Rodgers in the Packers. All reports was he just stood there on that injured high left ankle sprain that he has and was just tossing around the pigskin with his fellow QBs. Not necessarily running out there, Joe, with the ones or the twos or doing anything really. Of course, when it comes to a Bill Belichick-led football team, we're never going to know with full clarity what the injury report truly looks like ahead of any individual matchup in the NFL, Joe, but even if Mac Jones plays, I'm not entirely sure it matters for the game in Lambeau on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers, and the odds are still heavily in favor of Green Bay. It's 9.5 in favor of the Pack. Joe, the total's 39 in a hook, so that should go to show you not much is expected of this New England offense that really hasn't done much this year anyway.
No, but the Green Bay offense looks like they're battle-tested right now, right? The 1-2 punch of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon in terms of running the football is starting to wear down defenses. They were able to move the football against a very good Tampa Bay front seven last week, going up against New England. I'm not sold on New England's offense. What's the identity? I mean, do they have one outside of Damian Harris and Stevenson at the running back position? They're not even wearing down teams in terms of the running game like they were last year with Josh McDaniels calling the plays. They look like a fish out of water with Patricia and Joe Judge. I like Green Bay in this matchup. I think Green Bay is slowly starting to come into their own. I wasn't high on them at the start of the year, but if they can continue to pound the rock with the running backs and Aaron Rodgers has to do less, they're going to be very dangerous come late January in playoff time. So we'll see how it plays out, but I would lay the wood here with the Packers at home.
Yeah, it's a team in Green Bay that looks a little different than in years past, right, Joe? It's not necessarily Aaron Rodgers and connecting with whatever wide receiver. The last few years, of course, a focus on Devontae Adams. It's a really good Packers defense, a really good Packers pass rush and a front seven for sure, and then a really good ground attack for Green Bay as well. And they feel very comfortable in how this is going so far, Joe. You have a New England offense that's averaging 17 points per game. You have a Green Bay offense that, let's throw away week number one. Sure, they only scored 14 last week, but putting up 14 even against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is quite a feat so far to begin this season. And with a spread of 9.5 and a total at 39 in a hook, again, a lot is expected of Green Bay, where not a ton is expected out of New England. All right, Joe, let's continue running around the NFL slate for Sunday week number four. Here's an interesting one, because it would be rather peculiar given what we have seen in recent memory in the National Football League. It has been 26 games the Detroit Lions have been booked as an underdog. Come Sunday, that streak might be snapped. Right now, Joe, Detroit, a 4.5-point home favorite against the Seattle Seahawks. The Lions, oh, now the line has moved down to 3.5. But regardless, a 3.5-point favorite against the Seattle Seahawks. Joe, we've only known under Dan Campbell the Detroit Lions as an underdog, but in those 20 games, 14-6 against the spread. The best cover percentage during that span in the National Football League. But now as a favorite in uncharted territory, Joe, what do you make of the Fighting Dan Campbells?
Yeah, well, I'm still taking Seattle here. Now, I believe they were a favorite against Washington, if I'm not mistaken, and got that victory in dominating fashion for that matchup a couple of weeks ago. But I'm not sure what the closing line was. But I still like Seattle. I haven't jumped off the Seattle train right now. I watched that ball game last week. Geno Smith played very well. I thought they should have utilized Rashad Penny a little bit more in terms of the running game. He only touched the rock 14 times for about 60 yards. I still believe Seattle on the road can run the football with Rashad Penny and those running backs. I'm buying into the offensive line of Seattle. I hope they take the football out of Geno Smith's hands. And I like the defensive secondary matching up against the passing game of They still have some injuries that are nagging for St. Brown and some of the other playmakers like DeAndre Swift. So I'm taking Seattle here outright. I like them plus the points at 3.5. I think the game goes under the 47.5, but I like Seattle plus the 160 money line.
I think it's a little bit unfortunate, Joe, and the reason this line has moved, and my biggest concern of backing the Lions in this spot, was Amon-Ra St. Brown, or maybe the lack thereof, one of the best receivers in the National Football League, and certainly Jared Goff's favorite target. Amon-Ra St. Brown has been ruled out for Sunday against Seattle. That's going to be a big miss, and we're not exactly sure what DeAndre Swift's availability will be, but Dan Campbell saying earlier that DeAndre Swift is probably out. That's not good for an offense that has scored a ton this year, but you're trying to keep pace now as a favorite against the Seattle Seahawks. A tough number there, Joe. I agree with the thought, although I would love to lay the number with the Lions just to say that I could lay a number with the Lions. All right, let's continue going around, Joe. Week number four of the National Football League, the Pittsburgh Steelers, a three-point home favorite against the New York Jets. Speaking of young quarterbacks and their availability, Zach Wilson is expected to play for the Jets on the road in Acrisure Stadium on Sunday. It's an interesting game, Joe. Neither of these teams have been all that exciting. The Jets pull off the miraculous comeback over the Browns week number two, but then an absolute stinker last week against the Bengals. But now it's Zach Wilson instead of Joe Flacco. What does that do, Joe, overall for how you evaluate the Jets?
Yeah, it doesn't change in any capacity. I mean, I think there's going to be some rust for Zach Wilson, and you have a Pittsburgh team that wants to step up and needs to step up from the defensive side of the ball. We're starting to see them wear down because of the lack of inconsistency of the running game. They're not converting on third downs. And at the end of the day, they should be able to win this ball game by double digits. Whether Zach Wilson plays lights out at his very best, I still give the edge at Pittsburgh at home. I just think they're a much better home team sometimes than they are on the road. They didn't step up against Cleveland in an underdog role. Now they're laying a field goal. Again, I think they could pressure Zach Wilson, and the fact that he hasn't played yet this year and that offensive line is broken down for Joe Flacco, I think it's one and the same. I think they could force him into mistakes, force him into turnovers, and I think Najee Harris might get back on track as well as the running game that's only averaging about 3.7 yards per carry. Give me Pittsburgh in this ballgame, Ben. I think it trends to the under, though.
41.5, a low total as it is, Joe, but I would agree just based on what we have seen. I'm not necessarily in love with the offense the Steelers have been running or the plays that have been called by Matt Canada so far throughout this season. Joe, the key number of three in a bunch of spots around the board on Sunday, we mentioned the Bills and the Ravens also on that number of three, the Giants and the Bears, that key number of three as well, New York at home laying 3 points with a total of 39.5. A game, though, Joe, in London early on Sunday. The Minnesota Vikings now a 3.5-point favorite against the Saints. It was 2.5 for most of the week, working in the Vikings' favor, Joe, because of the injuries for New Orleans. Jameis Winston most likely will not play for New Orleans on Sunday in London at Tottenham Stadium. Andy Dalton probably gets the start on Sunday for the Saints, and he'll do so without one of the best wide receivers in New Orleans. That would be Michael Thomas. So that's why the line, Joe, has worked in favor of Minnesota. The Vikings now laying the 3.5. Would you still back Minnesota in this spot?
I want to, but I would take New Orleans here. And I've been a buyer of Minnesota here, but these London games reminds me of this game last year with Miami and Jacksonville, where Jacksonville got their first win of the season with the kid coming off the street and laying out two field goals over 50+. The 3, 2.5 is such a fishy line, even though the game is played overseas. I can't buy into Kirk Cousins. Obviously, Dalvin Cook is beat up. I'm inclined to take the 3.5. Even though Winston and Michael Thomas haven't practiced all week, I don't care. I'm a buyer of Kamara. I'm a buyer of that defense. And Dennis Allen, give me the Saints in an upset here.
It would be an upset for New Orleans, who won week number one, coming back down 26-10 in the fourth quarter against the Falcons, because the Dirty Birds are always going to Dirty Bird themselves out of winning football games. But they have not covered New Orleans yet. They are coverless against that spread, one of three teams in the NFL that have yet to cover. New Orleans, Las Vegas, and the New England Patriots as well. So an interesting game there in London early, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday. Another 3.5-point spread, Joe, in one of the early window games. The Colts and the Titans in Indianapolis. Indy on the road this year, 0-1-1 and 0-2 against the number, excuse me. But at home in Windianapolis, 1-0, both straight up and against the spread, winning outright last week for the Colts' first win of the season as a 5.5-point underdog against the Chiefs. Now they're laying a number in Indy on Sunday, Joe. What's your approach to Titans-Colts?
Yeah, no hesitation. I'm taking Tennessee in this ballgame. I'm not a buyer of Indianapolis. I don't care that they got the victory last week against Kansas City. They were lucky to get that win. They have no offensive identity, and I'm not a buyer of Frank Reich. At the end of the day, I believe in Derrick Henry, and even though I think he's inconsistent, Ryan Tannehill, I think, can make more plays than Matt Ryan in terms of their passing game. Give me Tennessee. I think they have the better defensive front, and I think this game goes over the 42.5. It's slightly juiced at -112, but I feel that Tennessee gets back on track in a big way. They got the win over Las Vegas. Give me Tennessee on the money line and with the spread, and give me the over in this ballgame.
I don't know how to handicap this game. Every game the Titans play feels weird from a handicapping perspective, and I don't really know what to make of Indianapolis at the moment. I'm just going to watch this game as it plays out, and then I'm going to jump in on the Jacksonville Jaguars to win the AFC South. I think that's my approach to it all. The Chargers and the Texans, Joe. LA, a 5.5-point road favorite against a Houston team that in the last 2 years has been really, really good as an underdog against the spread. And they're getting 5.5 at home. The Texans have not lost against the spread this year, 2-0-1 against that number. And since 2021, Joe, as an underdog, the Houston Texans have been a very good football team, like we mentioned. But now they're playing a Chargers team, Joe, where the Bolts' bad luck continues to rear its ugly head. Joey Bosa placed on the IR. Rashawn Slater is out for the year as the left tackle blindside blocker for Justin Herbert. And let's not forget, Herbert himself is playing with rib cartilage fractures. Joe, what do you make of the Chargers here? What's your approach to LA now as a 5.5-point favorite?
Well, twofold. I think they utilize the running game and Austin Eckler. I don't think they try and open it up because of those injuries. And I favor Houston in this matchup playing at home. Don't love it, but I think they win a very close game. I'm not sold on Brandon Staley. I'm not sold on the injuries. And again, I like the under here because I think both offenses will look to establish the run in this matchup. Give me Houston, but my best bet in this ball game is under the 44.5, Ben.
It's a good look for that game as well, Joe. I like the idea of looking at some of these totals when there's teams that we have some questions about and finding that different angle. The Houston Texans, 10-8-1 against the spread as an underdog since the start of last season. That's 19 of the 20 games they have played. So we'll continue to go around the NFL Week 4 slate here on Football Full Circle to round out the show and round out the week in just a little bit. A couple of more games to discuss as we get ready for the rest of the docket, like Cooper Rush and his Cowboys. Come back and join us on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We finish off FFC here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Myself, Ben Stephen, and Joe Lisi. Joe Lisi with a bit of breaking news as it pertains to one of the best running backs in the National Football League for Sunday. Christian McCaffrey listed as questionable in the Panthers game against the Cardinals. Joe, it's a 1.5-point spread right now in favor of the Panthers at home in Charlotte. There's another 1.5-point spread that's interesting on Sunday as well with an NFC South team, the Browns and the Falcons. Cleveland, a 1.5-point road favorite. What do you make of those two matchups with just 1.5 for the spread?
Yeah, I mean, I would now lean to maybe Arizona with the points, but I love the over in that ballgame in Carolina. I think Baker and obviously Kyler can cook in that matchup. And in the other game, Ben, I love Cleveland. There's no doubt in my mind that I don't care who plays for Cleveland. If it's the backups, they could run at will on the front seven of Atlanta. I'm not buying into Mariota. I know they got the win against Seattle, but playing at home, I think Cleveland dominates them in the interior. They shouldn't have to throw a pass. They win by double digits.
And just a few days after a very scary car accident, Myles Garrett is listed as questionable for Sunday in Atlanta against the Dirty Birds. I love the Falcons outright last week as a slight underdog against the Seahawks. I might kind of be leaning that way again, although Atlanta finds ways to lose football games. I don't know. Washington and Dallas, Joe, the final game we haven't touched on for Sunday. Cooper Rush and the Cowboys. Cooper Rush in his three starts of the last 2 years, a perfect 3-0, but this the first time the Cowboys a favorite, Joe, laying 3 points against Washington. Your quick thoughts on this matchup?
They abused him last year with Dak Prescott. They'll abuse him this year with Cooper Rush. The defense is more complete for Dallas. And I think if Washington loses this game, the wheels fall off for Ron Rivera and the crew.
Lisa, you have said for quite some time you don't think Washington is a very good football team. Sneaky, maybe one of the worst in the league. I'm starting to feel that way. I don't know about Cooper Rush as a favorite, but if I was leaning a direction, it would be Dallas laying the points at home. That does it for Football Full Circle. Stay tuned right here to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
New luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.